Next up on the Old Mole, we have Desiree Helligers with our newest Old Mole member, Robin White, and they will be talking with Shelley Sassosi about what's happening in South Dakota on the reservations, continued flooding, and the neglect by the state and the federal government. Desiree.
So my guest today is Shelley Sassosi, who is the vice chair of the White Swan Community, and she is also the tribal employment rights officer on the Yankton Sioux Reservation. She's a Yankton Sioux tribal member. And I'm speaking also with Lakota Cheyenne activist and member of the Old Mole Collective, Robin White, who recently returned from a trip to the reservation and who couldn't be in the studio with us today because he's recovering from pneumonia. And we're talking about the federal and South Dakota state neglect of the Yankton Sioux Reservation, which was hit by a bomb cyclone in March and then slammed with about another 11 inches of rain in 24 hours in September. And more recently, it was hit by a winter blizzard. So before we start, I really want to refer people to some of the excellent coverage that Dina Yankton, Dakota journalist Jacqueline Keeler, who's a co-host of Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Rowland, has provided on the crisis, and also refer people to a November 29th piece that The Guardian ran on conditions on the reservation. That piece was by Nina Lacani. So coverage by both Keeler and Lacani emphasizes the links to climate change, as well as the health impacts of standing water contaminated by E. coli and the pervasive presence of black mold, with the Indian Health Service advising people not to turn on their furnaces, even in sub-zero temperatures, to avoid spreading mold spores. Many have had to leave their homes and or discard mold-contaminated clothing and household goods, and many children are suffering from ringworm, impetigo, and pneumonia. The Guardian quoted Tom Gilmore, a retired physician who spent 50 years working on reservations, who noted that mold kills lung tissues and repeated infections can affect child growth and development. And just want to note also that South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has refused to deploy the National Guard despite the presence of a guard unit on the reservation about 22 miles away. So, Shelley, can you update us on some of the latest developments out there?
Yes, I want to say thank you for having me on the show today.
And thank you so much for joining us, Shelley. Thank you.
Yes. I wanted to say that within the past week, I'm talking about on the 10th of December, the emergency response team from FEMA came. That was really good because we were part of the first declaration that was passed back in October. Our reservation in our county was left out of it. So when we had talked to the governor or pleaded with the governor, had more officials come out and look at the conditions that the homes are, the mold, the water still in the basements, and some of the health issues that a lot of the children and the adults are facing, they have come and pleaded with our president, and he has signed the declaration, so we were happy for that. So one of the other big things that happened on December 6th was our highway was opened. Our highway hasn't been open since March 5th, actually. And it was open briefly for 10 days in August and September. And then when the flooding hit again, it was covered with water again, where it left kind of like a back road. It was the only way in or out for us. And it was, at times, it was treacherous. Maybe like 2 weeks ago, it was so bad when the blizzard and the rain, everything came, it just washed the whole road out. And that was our only way in or out. So a lot of people couldn't get out if they had small vehicles. So we were really in celebration that our highway opened up. And how that happened was the water froze. And it completely froze to the level of the road. And the state highway had come up and put guardrails up and opened the road. So we were really happy for that. That was one big excitement for the community. And the other is FEMA's here to help. The infrastructure of our tribal homes, the HUD homes, they're come to bring relief is what I've heard, because a lot of these homes that they had like first floor water coming in from the lake, and then that was like contaminated water because it was standing all summer and it did test positive for E. coli. So what our housing authority did was they moved out the real serious cases right away. And then as we're going along, as what I was told by one of the maintenance workers, that by the end of December or hopefully end of January, all of the people that are in the most exposed homes will be relocated to other communities on our reservation. So that doesn't bring a lot of excitement for many of them, because they're from this community and this is their home. But I tell them it's not healthy to live in that much mold. It's affecting, everybody has the respiratory virus and coughing, and then like I said, the kids are kind of sick, you know, always on nebulizers, walking pneumonia almost every other week, barely get them well enough, and then again they're back sick into the hospital. So I tell the community members that are worried about moving, please do this for your health. You know, we're in the future, maybe we can work on something, or maybe our tribal officials are working on something where they could move back to the area. Because I've also heard when Nina Lacani from The Guardian came, I accompanied her with when she interviewed our housing authority director, and he had kind of gave us insight of kind of what their plan was, you know, to build homes near White Swan, but up in the hills to where it wouldn't be in the flooded area. And so I told them, how long that takes, I don't know, but I advised the community tenants to move. They did receive letters that were saying that if they didn't move, then they would be evicted.
And so we're talking also about a community that was actually relocated to this site in 1952 following the construction of the Fort Randall Dam, which drowned the original town. And so a lot of the replacement housing that was promised when people relocated to this site was never delivered. And you were relocated, it sounds like, to a pretty flood-prone lake bed.
Yes. And then like other White Swan residents, they were, the Corps had built them homes or bought them homes in different communities, Wagner, like 15 or 20 miles away, you know. But yeah, most of this is for, because of the relocation of the original White Swan. So a lot of the people, this has been their home, you know. They haven't, I have a few grandmas here that are, have been here since, and then they're the ones that are crying. They're the ones that don't want to leave the community. And so, but I advised them, because of their health issues that they're enduring now, I told them that maybe it's a good thing until we can get the housing or the homes fixed up back over here, then they can move back over, you know. But for right now, for the health of all the mold and that's growing, you know, and the water still in their basements, just to leave for their health.
Robin, did you want to jump in? You just got back from the reservation not too long ago, and you brought a little pneumonia back with you, it sounds like.
Yeah, I wanted to share all the best, you know. So I think in particular, I think we need to recognize what this means. You know, I think Native communities in this country are the first to be affected and the worst to be affected by climate disaster. You know, here in Quinault, in Washington, in Florida, in Alaska, different places, we already see this. We see that the response by state and federal governments in particular are really substandard and almost actually putting roadblocks in the way of getting these things taken care of. Certainly in the case of White Swan, that was apparent. And you know, even the federal response, a lot of that is, you know, they'll pay you back money for that you spent. But you're talking about a community that has no money to spend in the first place. So, you know, it's really, it's helping a lot of wider communities. You know, the other thing is that drainage still hasn't been taken care of. The state is responsible for part of that. I'm sure that was passed on from Army Corps of Engineers to the state. But I understand that the federal government stopped them from completing the drainage of that area. And what does that mean in the long run? You know, as soon as that snow melts from those blizzards or another rain hits, they're in the same boat that they have been in. It takes a long time for that water to get the saturation point out of there so that, you know, any little bit of water actually makes another flood. The constant disease state where, you know, you don't have fresh water, you don't have clean water, you don't have clothes, you don't have beds. How do you keep these kids? It's that, like Shelley was saying, it's just a constant battle of trying to keep those kids from dying. And it, you know, this is not acceptable in any civilization. We need to do a lot better. You know, we had a social media response from a lot of people when we had them call the state of South Dakota and the federal, a lot of federal people. We're going to have another one of those here shortly, particularly calling the Senate Indian Committee on Indian Affairs, the members of that, and, you know, really trying to move them forward on this. And we're going to try and respond with a Native FEMA, Native Red Cross, if you will, to kind of be the liaison in between organizations and people trying to get to the bottom of this and make it better in this relationship with Native communities and how they're affected.
Yeah, I just want to chime in again about the National Guard unit, which is literally just like 22 miles away from the flooded area. It's actually on the reservation and has training in, you know, flood response. They have water purification equipment, and, you know, the governor has refused to deploy them to the site.
Yeah, I would be remiss if not saying that a lot of people did step up in this. You know, LifeStraw, we approached them. They came out right off the bat with a lot of water purification units for families and for the community center. A lot of people came up with money for food and, you know, socks and things so the kids could get back to school. You know, we're still working on mattresses and so on and so forth. People did step up, and I think we should say that the state did not step up. The feds did not step up until they were kind of, I don't know, maybe shamed into it. I think that's a bad response. I'm glad they're there and thank them for being there and hope they stay there. I should also say that, you know, there is no Christmas there at this point. The rental, the police, Yankton police had an office rental there in the community center. Without that revenue, you know, the White Swan community and the community at large, the White Swan community usually puts on a big Christmas event. We'd sure appreciate if people would get on Walks on the Day on Facebook and maybe donate to that effort. These people need help, and they need long-term help. We're also trying to work on some long-term housing assistance for them and see what that means, not only on that reservation, but in other reservations, because this continues to happen in this checkerboard of administrations and policies and so on and so forth, make it really difficult to live on these reservations, and particularly with the checkerboarding of ownership of non-Indians on the reservations. It's a mire, and we need to really do better for all these people.
So I just want to give our listeners some contact information for people that they can call to ask for demand, you know, more concerted aid response. So the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Neem, her phone number is 605-773-3212. That's 605-773-3212. People can call her and demand that she deploy the National Guard to the site. There's also Maria Cantwell of Washington State is on the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. Her number is 360-696-7838. That's 360-696-7838. And then the chair of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs is John Hoven from North Dakota. His phone number is 701-250-4618.
So, Desiree?
Yeah. Yes, Shelley.
If I can add in, I was just, one of our former councilmen, Greg Zephyr, is here, and he would like to express his thoughts on all of this, if it's okay.
Wonderful. Yeah, great.
Okay.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. You know what? There's this hidden, this groundwater. See, that's the hidden danger right there, because this top water, I mean, you could pump that, you know, but that groundwater has absolutely nowhere to go. And that's what's coming, that's seeping up from the bottom of the basement, on the side or whatever. These houses, you know. And, you know, when you're talking about the cold weather's coming up, you know, winter or whatever, when spring comes and that melt comes, see, this community is going to be even in worse shape than it is this past year. So, you know, and the tribe is currently working on a mitigation plan, and I wish they would hurry up and kind of, you know, push that through, because, you know, there's going to be a natural disaster in the springtime that's going to be worse than it is right here now. and you're talking about Nome, you know, what I think really needs to happen is we got to call all the parties together. You know what I mean? Bring in Nome, bring in, you know, all these agencies to sit down at the table, not as politicians, but as humans, because we are humans, you know. And this community, you know, it's a, you know, we got too many people there that are, you know, that are affected by this. And with the water and like the groundwater, like I'm saying, that's what's coming up to the basement. And that's, you know, the foundations are going to, you know, they're going to collapse. You get that meltdown or whatever, you know.
So we have 1 minute remaining, and I'm wondering if you can tell us where folks can contribute if they want to provide, you know, aid to the location. Robin, can you tell us?
Yeah, go ahead and get on Walks on Facebook, on Walks on the Day.
Walks on the Day.
Several places that you can get money to there.
I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we are just about out of time, and we've been talking today with Shelley Sanssouci on the Yankton Sioux Reservation, and with Old Mole Collective member Robin White, and with a member of the Tribal Council out on the Yankton Sioux Reservation. So thank you so much for joining us today, and this has been Desiree Helligers for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Thank you. Thank you.